Okay, let's summarize what we discussed last class from verse number 35.
Key takeaway is, what is Maya? The Maya is that the illusion we are not, or we are separate from Krishna. Right? The Mayavadis try to think that Krishna, when he comes here, he loses his own existence. Like, they don't understand that he is the Lord, he can do whatever he pleases, whenever he pleases. And he is there, he is the Supreme Personality. So, and that's what the whole, towards the end of the Gita, that's what he says, and so that's what it's saying. That was
one more thing is that mentioned that we forgot the purpose why we came here, because of which we are entangled and going around.
The eternal position, if you remember that, we'll continue doing service irrespective of the place, right? Service here or service there. Except that there the service is much more
pure
and happy, more joyful and blissful. Yeah. And this knowledge comes only from the bona fide spiritual master. One other thing was that the teacher knows what to, he instructs according to the students.
That was
one other thing that we discussed about, by giving some examples of, like he gave the example of Prabhupada. Two separate people, one is a bachelor coming, another is a married man coming. So he instructs both. There is inconsistency in the instruction because the receiver is different. So
very nice. And what does Krishna say in the verse? Like, he promises two things, right? When we obtain this knowledge. We'll never fall into the illusion.
And all living beings are
part of Krishna. So we see everyone as part in Krishna. Part of Krishna. Okay. So next verse, 36. Sins, right? Like
one who is situated in devotional service and does abnormal activities also considered as saintly because he is properly situated in his determination.
That is 9.30 translation. Here Krishna is again saying, even if you are most sinful person, if you are situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, you'll be able to cross over the ocean of miseries. Similar to that.
This is the same one. Same. Give an example, like if one gets tempted because of his previous.
Yeah. Basically, accidental fall down. Because of previous conditioning. Okay. Then 37. Then how does this sinful person sins get eradicated? That is 37. How does it happen?
As fire burns fire to ashes, in the same way, transcendental knowledge will help in burning pious and impious reactions of the world.
Okay. So all reactions get burned except what?
For those which are already
received. Already received, which is called prarabdha karma in Sanskrit. Like, like this body and somebody has a hearing loss, somebody cannot see properly, right? Those things will remain like that. Okay. Next, 38. And in this verse also, this is similar to the verse where Krishna says, Tesham Evanu Karnapartham, it's 9th chapter. The verse number 37 is similar to 10th chapter, I think.
Chatushloki.
Yeah, one of that.
9.59.
Yeah, 10.10 and 11. Krishna says, Tesham Satatektam Nam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Enamam Upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. అండ్ 10:11 కృష్ణ సేస్ తేషామేవానుకంపార్థం అహం అజ్ఞానజం తమః నాశయామి ఆత్మభావస్తో జ్ఞానదీపేన భాస్వత టు షో దెమ్ స్పెషల్ మర్సీ ఐ డ్వెల్లింగ్ ఇన్ దేర్ హార్ట్స్ డిస్ట్రాయ్ విత్ ద షైనింగ్ ల్యాంప్ ఆఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్ ద డార్క్నెస్ బోర్న్ ఆఫ్ ఇగ్నరెన్స్ సో కృష్ణ సేస్ యూనో విత్ దిస్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఐఎమ్ గోయింగ్ టు డిస్ట్రాయ్ ద డార్క్నెస్ సో సిమిలర్ దట్ సేమ్ యాజ్ 37 రైట్ విత్ దిస్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఐఎమ్ గోయింగ్ టు బర్న్ ఆల్ ద రియాక్షన్స్ హౌ ఇస్ ఇట్ హ్యాపెనింగ్ బికాస్ ఫ్రమ్ విత్ ఇన్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ గోయింగ్ టు క్లెన్స్ ద హార్ట్ ఓ యాక్చువల్లీ దిస్ రిలేటెడ్ టు ఓకే వీఆర్ డూయింగ్ ద రివ్యూ రైట్ ఓకే ఐ కెన్ డిస్కవర్ ద పాయింట్ సో ఐ వాజ్ లిసనింగ్ వన్ సెక్షన్ ఆఫ్ ద లెక్చర్ రాధన మహారాజ్ వాజ్ టెల్లింగ్ లైక్ వీ షుడ్ నో హౌ ఇట్ వర్క్స్ లైక్ యు నో వీ నో బై చాంటింగ్ ద హోలీ నేమ్ వీ గెట్ ప్యూరిఫైడ్ యు నో సమ్ యు నో వీ నో బికాస్ హోలీ నేమ్ ఇస్ ప్యూర్ వీ చాంట్ ఇట్ గెట్స్ ప్యూరిఫైడ్ హీ సెడ్ యు నో వీ షుడ్ ఆల్సో నో హౌ ఇట్ వర్క్స్ సో హౌ ఇట్ వర్క్స్ ఇస్ బేస్డ్ ఆన్ ద ఈగర్నెస్ ఆఫ్ ద చాంటర్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ద ఈగర్నెస్ Krishna within is pleased or you know Krishna outside is pleased with because of that he cleanses the heart of the devotee so he becomes more qualified to serve him that's the internal it's not mechanical it's not like you know I chant 16 rounds so I'm going to get this amount of purification or I've been chanting for 10 years so I'm now advanced devotee it's not doesn't work somebody may be chanting for years or lifetimes still they may go on continuous cycle of birth and death sometimes because if they chant with impure desires or chant without proper devotional attitude so that eagerness and devotional attitude is what makes Krishna to reciprocate to cleanse the heart so that's how it works you know that's why you know Krishna from within he gives knowledge and burns the ignorance so then text number 38 Krishna is glorifying this knowledge so what are some of the characteristics There is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. And such knowledge is a mature fruit of all mysticism. Then one who has become accomplished in the practice of devotional service, eventually he will enjoy this knowledge within himself. He will become self-situated. Right? So 38. So what are some of the points here? Yeah, one finds peace within himself when he is situated in transcendental knowledge. Right?
And does not get disturbed by the desires.
Desires, yeah, like ocean. Even though it's filled with continuously with the rivers, it doesn't get overflowing. Okay, then we have to continue to this section, right? Actually, this verse also is related to 9.2. Where Krishna glorifies devotional service. You know, what are the characteristics of devotional service? So you can just make a note. I think I missed that connection last time.
438.
Yeah, it's similar to, in the sense.
For which verse? For 38?
Yeah, 38. 9.2. Krishna glorifies devotional service. Characteristics of devotional service. Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyaksha Avagamanam Dharmyam Susukam Kartum Avyayam. So this knowledge is the king of education. So same, you know, devotional service or knowledge or confidential knowledge. You know, this knowledge, the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge and because it gives the direct perception of the self by realization, it is perfection of religion. It is everlasting and it is joyfully performed. So, you know, Krishna is describing devotional service here. The most confidential knowledge, that's the chapter heading, is nothing but devotional service to the Lord. These are the characteristics of devotional service or transcendental knowledge. So it's similar to these characteristics which Krishna is explaining here. Sublime and pure, right? It's the same thing is repeating. And most importantly is joyfully performed. So you know if we are not getting joy in doing devotional service, we should analyze and see there is something wrong we are doing. Either we are committing offenses or we are not putting our heart, we are doing mechanically or something. You know, we should be inspired to do more and more service. Okay, so we'll start today's class, 39. So, this section, Krishna is now going to talk about the role of faith in such understanding such knowledge. What happens to a person who is faithful, what happens to a person who is not faithful and doubting? You know, what happens to the destiny, you know, what gains and what losses they get, right? And then 42nd verse, It's a summary of the Prabhupada in the purport. He summarizes the whole chapter.
So 39 to 42 is a section?
No, the whole section is the sacrifices section. From, I don't know which verse, right? Which
34 to 42, you said,
yeah.
Summary of transcendental knowledge.
Yeah. Summary of transcendental. So it's coming, it's same. So 39, this is today's class, 39. Today's discussion.
श्रद्धा वा लभते ज्ञानं तत्परा संयतेन्द्रिया ज्ञानं लब्ध्वा परां शान्तिम् अचिरेणाधिगच्छति.
A faithful man who is dedicated to transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses is eligible to achieve such knowledge, and having achieved it, he quickly attains a supreme spiritual peace. Now here Krishna is giving qualifications of a person to receive such transcendental knowledge. What are the qualifications? Number one, he should be faithful. And second, he should be dedicated to the process of acquiring this knowledge. And third one is he subdues his senses, means his self-control, sense control. And such a person is eligible, is qualified to achieve such knowledge. And what happens once he achieves such knowledge? He will attain supreme spiritual peace. He attains peace within himself. That was a very, very powerful purport. So let's continue with that. And we discussed earlier, right? These two verses is similar to the verses in third chapter. Last time we made that connection, which Sahu Prabhu pointed out, right? 3.31 and 3.2, where Krishna says about, you know, those who follow with faith my instructions, what happens? Whereas persons who don't follow with out of envy, they disregard the teachings, what happens? So similar, you can write down there 3.31 to 3.32. Okay. You can read the purport.
Such knowledge in Krishna consciousness can be achieved by a faithful person who believes firmly in Krishna. One is called a faithful man who thinks that simply by chanting in Krishna consciousness. Sorry?
Simply by acting.
Oh, I'm sorry. One is called a faithful man who thinks that simply by acting in Krishna consciousness he can attain the highest perfection.
Yeah, we can pause there. See, this is such a wonderful pregnant sentence, right? This is a definition of faith again.
Mm-hmm.
One is called a faithful man. Okay, what is faith? When one thinks that simply by acting in Krishna consciousness, he can attain the highest perfection. So very, very, you know, concise and wonderful statement. So we thought we'll elaborate on this to get deeper into this. So here, this is the definition of faith. Remember earlier, there was also one definition of faith. I think you know that verse. Vyavasayatmika Buddhi also has a definition of faith, right? Faith is unflinching trust in something sublime. 2.41. Right? See, it's the same. See, you know, let's read this first two lines of 2.41 purport. A strong faith that by Krishna consciousness one will be elevated to the highest perfection of life is called Vyavasayatmika intelligence. The same definition again. Right? Again, faith means unflinching trust in something sublime. So that's why after reading Prabhupada things, you will see actually, you know, he never misquotes himself. No, because it's the same thing, right? Wherever he says, it's the same, it's similar, same thing he says. So this is the Vyavasayatmika intelligence. Means like just focused. That's all. I just want Krishna, nothing else. I see only Krishna. So I am not multi-branched. In 4.41, if I am multi-branched, then I lose the resolution. But you know, once I go worship this demigod, I go do this yajna, so many things, right? I am jumping my mind. So I am not focused on just following the practices of devotional service. That's why I lose the purpose. And you know, there is no result. But whereas a person who is faithful, no, he has only focus on Krishna, and he firmly believes that simply by acting in Krishna consciousness, he can attain highest perfection. So now, let's discuss what is this highest perfection. So we are dividing this statement into two. One is faith, right? Person who is faithful. who thinks, first part is who thinks simply by acting in Krishna consciousness. So that we'll come to it later. He can attain the highest perfection. So what is this highest perfection?
Realizing that we are not this body and that we are the servant of Krishna. Partly the servant of Krishna.
Okay.
Going back to God.
Yeah. Highest perfection is to attain Goloka and eternal service to the Lord. That's the highest perfection of life. Highest perfection of life is to basically revive our constitutional position and be situated in that of course we could do it in this life and attain the Goloka, spiritual life, the supreme spiritual planet. Right? So first of all, now the discussion comes, argument comes about what is that highest perfection among many people, right? That's where a confusion comes. If somebody is violating the statement, because many people don't agree on that highest perfection. They think highest perfection is attaining $1 million, or highest perfection is marrying so many wives, or highest perfection is, you know, having a lot of fame, or attaining a political position, right? So because of that, you know, they cannot be having faith in acting in Krishna consciousness. Because my highest perfection is different. Right, so that is one discussion about highest perfection. So the verse which says this highest perfection is 8.16. We'll just read the translation. Where Krishna talks about this highest perfection of life. Oh, not this one actually. Oh, it's a different verse. It's 8 chapter only. I looked up and then... Okay, let's see the translation. Sri Krishna says, you know, one attains this, never comes back.
15,
huh? Yeah, 15. Okay, I wrote it wrong. You can take a pencil. So Krishna says, Maam upetya punarjanma dukkhalayam ashashvatam naapnuvanti mahatmana samsiddhim paramam gatim paramagata. See, this is the highest ultimate perfection. Paramagati, paramgati. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world which is full of miseries because they have attained the highest perfection. So highest perfection is to attain Krishna in of course in the spiritual world or within this world also, same thing. Right, so that is highest perfection of life. So the, according to Bhagavad Gita, what is highest perfection? We got it, 8.15. Then,
is Nalini Mataji's
friend? Who is Nalini?
Then carried in the Bhagavad
Gita. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, maybe I'll remember correctly. You want chair?
No, not this.
Okay. One Bhagavad Gita? Can get to Bhagavad Gita. Telugu, you want Telugu Bhagavad Gita or English?
Yeah, whatever it
means. Whatever it means. Okay, so according to Bhagavad Gita, what is highest perfection? He got 8.15. Now the discussion is about the first part of the statement. One who thinks that simply by acting in Krishna consciousness one can attain the highest perfection. Let's say everybody agrees what is highest perfection. That, you know, I have to go attain devotional service to Krishna or go to Goloka. Now after that also, people may debate with respect to what process to follow. They may not have conviction on the devotion service as laid out by Srila Prabhupada or our acharyas or disciplic succession. Right? So there were a couple of incidents related to this. So during Prabhupada's time, so one person came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, please bless me. Said, please bless me that I can find a guru. You know, then Prabhupada said, you know, that shows, you know, he didn't understand anything. You know, what we are giving, the highest, you know, process, which the process which can attain the 8.39 chapter. The process by which we can attain the highest perfection, we are giving it out as given by the acharyas, and this person is asking me, you know, bless me that I can find a guru. Right? It's such an offensive attitude actually. Right? And another person, he came to Prabhupada and said, you know, Prabhupada, this Babaji is giving, you know, during that time, even now I think, there is this Sahajya system. Sahajya means they simply act as if they have love for Krishna. So they act like, you know, I'm now Gopi, I'll dance with Krishna, or, you know, I'm a peacock. They do, they go to Vrindavan and make sounds like peacock all day. You know, they're meditating on their, you know, their position in spiritual world by acting, imitating, rather than chanting and purifying and getting it revealed to themselves. So one disciple came to Prabhupada and said, you know, that Babaji is even more, that's, I found elevated path. He's giving already the mantra by which I can practice the my spiritual position. You know, directly I can just meditate and act like what I am. So, you know, that is high, I feel that is higher. So please bless me, I can leave. Like that. You know, so that's why, you know, people don't have this firm faith that simply by acting in Krishna consciousness, I can attain that highest perfection. So two parts. One, what is the question about highest perfection? That's the discussion. The other one is, what is the process? Do I have the faith in the process that this will give me that highest perfection? Or another, you know, down to earth kind of example is that we also came across some people like devotees who, you know, follow Krishna consciousness. You know, we can say, you know, they're chanting 16 rounds and all the four regular everything, right? But then if you look into day-to-day lives, we see sometimes, you know, for they do Satyanarayan Vrata every once a month, they have to do it. Or, you know, for some obstacle they call, or, you know, for some house warming they call some other pujari and do some other type of yagya. Now this shows that, you know, they are not still so firmly believing in or abiding to the process as given by Srila Prabhupada. Right? Like that. So then that means that's again the question of faith. They are not faithful. Then it comes to the next verse where Krishna says, we may have, such person may have faith, but still he may have doubts. Then what happens to that person? Then if we continue this purport, Prabhupada is going to say how to develop this faith. So this is what we want, right? We want this faith that, you know, somehow or the other core of the heart, we should have this conviction that, you know, if I dedicate myself to Krishna consciousness, I'm going to attain highest perfection. Another point is, not only highest perfection of life as we discuss, but also in day-to-day things, whatever we do, we should feel so satisfied or, you know, convinced that Krishna consciousness will give us everything. Like I was telling with Madhavi Mataji one day, like, you know, we should be convinced that material success comes by spiritual success. So that, you know, we should be so focused on spiritual progress that my material things will automatically come to me as needed. Because we are taking care of the watering the root first, right? So just all my thing is, I just focus on my practices, my devotion to Krishna. Krishna will take care of what is needed for me now, future, any time, right? So material success follows spiritual success, material progress follows spiritual progress. So with respect to children also, you know, what emphasis should we give in their life? We are trying to mold their lives, right? How do we, you know, train them? Should we from the beginning start brainstorming them? No, okay, you do math 3 hours, 4 hours, 10 hours. No, you have to become this graduate, that graduate. Should mold their lives focusing on material progress, or making them so strongly founded in spiritual culture and faith, such that with the conviction that material progress will follow. That shows whether we have faith. If we have that much faith, we will give that to our children. We'll know, otherwise we'll shake, right? Oh, I don't know, he's chanting, but, you know, maybe he'll become pujari, you don't know what happens in society, right? Maybe, you know, nobody will respect him, after that he wants to marry, what will he do, right? So it'll all come, we cannot cheat ourselves actually, it will show up in our lives. Yeah, of course the faith will be tested, you know, faith will be tested, and Krishna creates situations where our faith will increase, you know, if you are sincere. And mainly faith increases because of association and service of advanced devotees. And that's very, you know, simple way our faith, you know, increases. Okay, so we'll continue what Prabhupada says about how to increase this faith.
This faith is attained by the discharge of devotional service and by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, which cleanses one's heart of all material dirt.
Yeah, we can pause it. So Prabhupada is saying two parts. How to attain this faith? One is do the devotional service. Of course, and by that includes chanting also. But so he specifically mentioned that includes chanting of Hare Krishna mantra. So if we feel, you know, we are not having strong faith, and, you know, one day we do service to Krishna, another day we feel worrying, what's going to happen to my property or so many things. We feel we are getting disturbed, wavering. So we should understand we are not chanting properly. We are not putting full faith in our chanting. That, you know, just if I chant Krishna sincerely, Krishna is going to protect me. Or, you know, we don't have full conviction about devotional service. Then what happens? He, Krishna Prabhupada, is saying, which cleanses one's heart of all material dirt. So now coming back to the point about, you know, faith, right? A complete conviction that by Krishna consciousness one can attain highest perfection. So if one doesn't have that conviction, it's because of material desires, right? Either we think highest perfection is something else, or we adopt to some other cheap means to attain such highest perfection because of what? Material desires. We want something quickly or we want something cheap. So that is material dirt, and that material dirt can be cleansed by devotional service or chanting. That's why, you know, together. Okay, we can continue.
Over and above this, one should control the senses. A person who is faithful to Krishna and who controls the senses can easily attain perfection in the knowledge of Krishna consciousness without delay.
So again, additional point as mentioned by Krishna is one has to control the senses as well. So while chanting, while doing devotional service, we should not again indulge in sense gratification. Of course, you know, we do regulated sense gratification as guided by acharyas, and we have a goal that eventually our sense gratification will reduce. This, for example, if right now I have certain attachment or addiction or certain this thing, like, you know, sweets or something like that, then we have a goal that, you know, of course I don't want to continue like this forever. No, this is not where I should be. So gradually, you know, by following the process, especially the fastings and Ekadashi, all those things, our senses are getting gradually being controlled. So again, Prabhupada says, one who is faithful to Krishna and who controls the senses can easily attain perfection in knowledge of Krishna consciousness without delay. Okay, so faith and sense control. And one more thing in the verse, right? Krishna is saying, a faithful man who is dedicated to transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses is eligible to achieve such knowledge. See, here again, this knowledge is both means and end. Right? This person is dedicated to transcendental knowledge. For what? To get more transcendental knowledge. We were saying, right? Somebody is asking Prabhupada, you know, we are chanting, you know, why we are chanting? We are chanting because we can chant more purely. It's not like at some point we'll stop chanting. We are chanting so we can chant more purely and more focus, more quality. So we do devotional service to do more pure devotional service. So now next verse, text number 40, Krishna talks about one who is not, doesn't have faith. What happens? There are three categories of people is mentioned here. So we'll discuss those categories as mentioned in Prabhupada's purport. And then, you know, we can again take this as application points for us, actually, you know, where do we fit in? Am I a faithless person or do I have faith? You know, what do I do to increase my faith? So these are some practical things. We want to do it at the end of the class. Text 14. Agnyascha shraddhadanascha samshayatma vinashyati nayam loko asti na paro na sukam samshayatmana. So samshaya is doubt. So shraddha is faith. In the last verse also we have, right, shraddhavan. But ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. They fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. At least from the purport, seems like there are three categories, and even from the translation, way translation is written, it seems as if there are only two. Okay, let's look at this Sanskrit. There are three categories, right? Agnyas. Agnya is a fool, ignorant person.
Where are you reading, three categories?
Reading the Sanskrit. In purport, we'll come to the categories.
Okay.
But I'm just briefing it. Text number 40. If you look at the Sanskrit, you can maybe underline the points. Agnya is the first category, ignorant person. Second category is Ashraddhadana. Ashraddhadana is a person who doesn't have faith. No, no faith. Shraddha Dana is faith. Ashraddha Dana doesn't have faith. And Samshayatma is a person who is doubtful. Right? Three categories. That's given in the Sanskrit. But from the translation, it seems as if there are only two, because there is no comma there. But ignorant and faithless persons, that's actually ignorant and faithless are two categories. The third one is who doubt the revealed scriptures. So they are actually three people. According to purport, we can see that. So there are three people: ignorant person, faithless person, and the third one is who doubt the revealed scriptures. What happens to all of them? They do not attain God consciousness and they fall down. Because Krishna says, the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. So here is the role of the doubt, and you know how we should eradicate doubts are going to be discussed. So we'll read the purport.
Out of many standard and authoritative revealed scriptures, the Bhagavad Gita is the best. Persons who are almost like animals have no faith in or knowledge of the standard revealed scriptures.
Okay, we can pause it. So that is the first category. Ignorant or fools. They are like the persons who are like animals who have no faith or knowledge of the scriptures. So many people, right, they don't even know the Bhagavad Gita is there. Even though they know, they don't know the details. They just want to live their life completely agnostic, completely oblivious to all such knowledge. Right? So ignorance or fools or, you know, what is that term called? Anaryan life, right? Yeah. So that is general, common people now. This is what they are in. They don't have faith or they don't have knowledge. Some people may come across, but they have given up all these paths because of all this, you know, cheating. They become atheistic. So either they don't have faith or they don't have knowledge. So this is the first category, Ajna, fools or ignorant. And the second one, and continue the part.
Some, even though they have knowledge of or can recite passages from the revealed scriptures, have actually no faith in these words.
Okay, so this is the second category. So these people, they have knowledge,
but
they don't have faith. They have knowledge of the revealed scripture. They can even quote the scriptures. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody can say a lot of verses. Like for example, a typical example is, like, you know, some people, you know, give the marathon for the kids to learn the slokas. So many times it's said that, you know, they can say the sloka. If you ask a kid, you know, what's the translation meaning, they say, no, I don't know. So of course, they are not like that. But, you know, so we can have knowledge or, you know, so-called this thing, but we don't have faith in that knowledge. So we don't apply our life for that knowledge. Right? So actually, you know, it comes to us also. How much are we receiving and how much have we have faith to apply ourselves to that knowledge? That is a factor of faith. We receive so much knowledge, but if we are not dedicating ourselves to that knowledge, means we don't have faith. Right?
Yep.
We hear it's right, it's good, it's highest perfection, it's all happiness, everything we hear. But I'm not willing to let go my attachments or, you know, at least do the sincere effort, which takes time. Then means what? I don't have firm faith in that knowledge. So then that's faithless, second category. Ashraddha Dana. Okay, third category is, and even though others
may have faith
in scriptures
like Bhagavad Gita, they do not believe in or worship the personality of Godhead,
Sri Krishna. Okay, that's the third category. These are doubtful. So they have faith in scriptures. Okay, they believe in Bhagavad Gita, these verses, all these verses, everything, but they don't believe that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. So how does it work actually? It's impossible. So they have faith in scriptures, but still they question, you know, does Krishna really exist? Did he come? You know, maybe he's like me, or maybe this process is not for me. No, maybe have general faith, but not faith in this process. Maybe it's not about chanting, maybe some other mantra. Actually, Mahaprabhu's spiritual master gave some other mantra to him, but he gave some other mantra. So maybe it should be some other mantra. So all these doubts, they're just completely, you know, wasting their time in these doubts. These are doubtful, right? This is Samshayatma. So these are three categories. Okay, now Prabhupada summarizes this. So these are clear, these three categories. So it's very, you know, the way Prabhupada has written, it's a gradual development, right? It's very nicely written. So somebody doesn't have knowledge or doesn't have faith, right? There are ajnas, you know, completely materialistic life they're leading. And the second one is, may have faith, may have knowledge, but don't have faith. So they can speak, give classes, but they cannot transmit the faith to others. Because whatever we have, we can give. The third one, they have faith, but they don't have belief in the Krishna Supreme Personality of Godhead. They don't have firm faith in the process. They have faith in the scriptures, though. Okay, so now Prabhupada summarizes, out of three, somebody is more dangerous. So let's see what is that. First of all, what happens? Such persons?
Such persons cannot have any standing in Krishna consciousness.
So all of them. So all three categories. So if we are ignorant, so basically no knowledge, right? So of course I am not going to practice Krishna consciousness. Second one, if I am faithless, then I am not going to dedicate myself to Krishna consciousness. Third, if I have faith but I am doubtful, so I am not going to put complete conviction and dedication to Krishna consciousness. So such person, they don't have any standing in Krishna consciousness. They fall down.
Out of all the above mentioned persons, those who have faith and
those
who have no faith and are always doubtful make no progress at all.
Okay, so here, second and third categories. Out of all the above mentioned persons, those who have no faith, this is the second category, and are always doubtful, this is the third category, make no progress at all.
Is it second and third or combined or separate?
Second and third. Among ignorant persons, still they are given benefit because they don't know.
So both second and third are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Both second and third categories make no progress at all. So they are worst among the three. Because the first person, somehow, he may be faithful, you know, he may be pious. Like, you know, most of us, right? Somehow we came across and we took it up. Before that, we were Agnya. Right? But, you know, when the chance is given, we were able to take it up sincerely or, you know, practicing so-called sincerely. So that they still have hope. But whereas people who have no faith, that means they got the knowledge, they don't have faith. That means either they are corrupted by Mayavadi interpretations or something, that they are not able to cultivate that faith. So that means they have given all the knowledge. So what else can you do? You can keep giving knowledge more and more. But if faith is not increasing, what will happen? And the second one is, those who have faith, but still they are doubtful. Again, same thing. Unless the doubts are cleared, he is not going to apply himself to Krishna consciousness. So that's a proper thing. These two are worst categories. They where they do not make any progress at all. So now we try to analyze ourselves, you know, where we are, like, you know, which category we are and why we are not able to make progress.
When you have faith, why will you have, like, I'm not able to understand, when a person has faith, what do you mean having doubt? How will you have faith if he has doubts?
So this is faith in the scriptures. But he has doubt whether this process works for me. No, I have faith in Bhagavad Gita, but he is doubtful whether, you know, is Prabhupada, is the Acharya, should I follow him? Maybe Prabhupada's God brothers. No, something, some doubt is happening. Or maybe, you know, maybe I should directly surrender to spiritual Prabhupada. Prabhupada, he never said we should take Diksha from his disciples. We should completely surrender to Prabhupada. Something or the other, they concoct themselves to waste their time rather than dedicating themselves to the process. Doubts, lot of doubts, you know, like maybe six, why 16 rounds? Maybe actually Prabhupada's guru gave 64 rounds. So why, maybe you should do 16 rounds. Prabhupada reduced it, maybe it's not effective. Or, you know, this verse Prabhupada said like this, you know, or he says, you know, women are less intelligent. Maybe Prabhupada is male chauvinistic, he's not pure devotee. So many things, you know, I'm making up now, trying to make up things. But yeah, see, like so many doubts he can come, which always hamper and, you know, keeps coming back again and again in even in chanting beginning stages or anywhere, like where it stops us from taking it up seriously and sincerely, the process. Okay, we'll continue.
Men without faith in God and his revealed word find no good in this world nor in the next. For them there is no happiness whatsoever.
Okay, this is paraphrasing what Krishna said, right? Krishna said there is no happiness in this world and next. That's what Prabhupada is saying. Okay.
One should therefore follow the principles of revealed scriptures with faith and thereby be raised to the platform of knowledge. Only this knowledge will help one become promoted to the transcendental platform of spiritual understanding. In other words, doubtful persons have no status whatsoever in the spiritual emancipation. One should therefore follow the footsteps of great acharyas who are in the disciplic succession and thereby attain success.
Okay. Okay, now he Prabhupada is giving how to make progress. First he says one should follow the principles of revealed scriptures with faith. So when we have principles in the scriptures, we should follow them with faith, not without faith, you know, just because mechanically or somebody is saying it's like that. Then what happens? One will be raised to the platform of knowledge. That means, you know, this devotional service or knowledge will be revealed from within. Then one will be promoted to the transcendental platform of spiritual understanding. So one gradually becomes spiritually realized. And then finally Prabhupada is summarizing. In other words, doubtful persons have no status whatsoever in spiritual emancipation. It's a very, very strong statement. He's saying doubtful among the three, you know, again. Earlier he mentioned about faithless and doubtful, right? Where he said they cannot make any progress in Krishna consciousness. Now he's focusing on the third category. So doubtful persons have no status whatsoever in spiritual emancipation. Then what's the solution? One should follow in the footsteps of great acharyas. Now without, no, it's not blind following, but with conviction, you know. So many acharyas have followed this process and become perfect. So let me just apply myself to that instead of doubting. Because if we are doubting what we are doing, we are just relying on our mind. Like, you know, which is so disturbed already, and mind, it's called, what is this?
Chanchala.
And it's also like, it's always accepting and rejecting, right? It's always, I want this, I like this, I don't like this. It's always, it's just duality, it's always dual. So, you know, if we rely on that mind and make decisions about our spiritual life, then what's the, you know, hope? No, this is a very nice statement, no? Very nice thing to think about. It said that if we were so qualified ourselves or so perfect ourselves, we wouldn't be in mess as we are right now. If we were so equipped and so wonderful and so, you know, perfect, then we would not be suffering like this, what we are doing, you know, all these miseries, this material body and all these things, right? At least now we should have that thing, you know, I cannot trust my mind, I cannot trust my desires, and let me trust somebody who is pure and somebody who is perfect. So then, you know, stop counting on our ego and mind, and it's hard struggle. I was about to say something.
But these things comes very quickly, right? As soon as situation changes, like
which things?
Like ego. Like now we are sitting in the warm room, it's okay. We think, okay, these are very small things. But whenever someone will hurt you, like ego is the first thing will kick in, and we will think for like many, many hours or minutes or whatever, and based upon the.
Yeah.
Because I have observed many times, I also acted. While acting, I'm thinking, I don't know why I'm acting. I know these are things are getting kicked in. Like if someone is telling you something bad, so maybe in the front you are not telling, but mind is thinking, okay, there's something wrong. I don't know why. What's going on?
That's a good problem.
I don't
know. You're realizing it's not.
Yeah, it's introspecting. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not under the control, means I'm not able to stop, but it's going on.
That's okay. At least now we are reflecting. So gradually, you know, we will choose our action. How to act in that situation. So for example, initially, especially these are all modes, when we are very passionate, immediately act. Somebody says something, you know, we cannot even tolerate. It's like, you know, immediately retort back, and you know, it's like, you know, how dare you tell this about my son, or just it comes out. Then we reflect and it's like, oh, why did I say that? And because it's so much passion and so much ego. And but gradually when we follow this process of devotion service, we elevate ourselves mode of goodness. The main quality of mode of goodness is that you get the capacity of, you know, get the time. You can think before you act. So when we think before we act, we can choose our action. What is the best way I can act, which can elevate me and myself and others, which can be more pleasing to Guru and Krishna. So follow the process so we can elevate ourselves from ignorance to passion to goodness. So, you know, especially if we can meet, when we see meet sadhus and sannyasis, we can see, right? They're so calm and composed, right? Like, whatever happens, anything happens in this, no, it's so disturbed. Because there's so much situated, not only in goodness, in transcendental goodness, actually. Shuddha Sattva, you know, in Krishna, they're situated in Krishna. But for us, if there is 1 hour less sleep, that's our next day. We are fired. Nobody can deal with us. I can speak to myself, so. Yeah, we are struggling. But it's okay. We can, you know, hope that we are trying our best and Krishna is seeing our efforts and we are getting our mercy and somehow we can make some small progress. At least Prabhupada promised that, you know, if you stick to 4 regulative principles and chant 16 rounds, you know, you can go back to Godhead. So we just have, we can count on that, Prabhupada's blessings. We have faith in that. Yeah. Yeah, this incident I think I shared once, right? So one Prabhupada said one has to chant 16 rounds purely. Then only one can go back to Godhead. Prabhupada said that in the class or maybe in discussion. The disciples, all the American disciples, right? You know, they were already, you know, they have come back from this hippie world and enjoying all these things, and this itself is struggling. 16 rounds following 4 regulative principles itself is a great struggle for them. So they were thinking, oh, how will I chant 16 rounds most attentively? The way Prabhupada says attentively, right? Oh, it's impossible. Prabhupada really, you know, 100% we have to be attention, 100% focused. And Prabhupada looked at everyone and said, 100%? No, not 100%. Okay, 75% is fine. 75% you do? Okay, rest of it I'll take care for you guys. Then again, there was proper 75%, really 75%. Okay, not 75%. Some numbers, I'm like, you know, making it up now. 65, but not less than that. Okay, just stick to 65. Just at least 65% you do your effort, I will cover up for you. So actually, you know, that's the mercy we are getting from Prabhupada. If you follow Prabhupada seriously, actually our teacher, you know, if you hear from him, he'll understand how much he has so much faith in Srila Prabhupada. So he says, don't ever leave ISKCON. He says, you know, whatever happens, actually gradually when we make stay here longer, we'll see internally things come out. You know, so many devotees fighting for politics, positions. We feel like, you know, devotional path supposed to be so pure and, you know, we have this pure goal. I just want to practice sincerely. Why people are doing different things? But somehow, you know, for our purification, we get across. Because there's so many different kinds of people. So we'll face them. So he said, whatever happens, don't ever leave ISKCON. Because, you know, Prabhupada is very, very special. Just stick to his lotus feet. That's all. You'll attain perfection. That he has that conviction and he transmits that to us in every class. Don't ever leave Prabhupada. Whatever happens, you know, along with listening to your Guru Maharaj lectures, always listen to Prabhupada lectures. Don't forget Prabhupada, because he is the main, our Siksha Guru. He is the one who, because he is very empowered. You know, we can see how powerful he is from what he achieved. Nobody could achieve what, you know, Prabhupada, when he was struggling going to US and he was writing his God brothers. So many God brothers he had, Bhakti Siddhanta's disciples. He wrote to them, you know, you send some men. I have an idea how to do it, but I need some help. At least send some people, send some money, give some help. Let's together do it. No, I'm not saying I will do it, I'll get credit. Let's together please our Guru Maharaj. I'm just pleasing my Guru Maharaj. Nobody offered any help. But of course, that's also good, because then we can know how Prabhupada could achieve alone. Otherwise, you could give credit to somebody else, right? You know, that's the way Krishna purposefully made it like this. Single-handedly, he established so many temples, and even now, he's so alive, right? It's forever. Everywhere, people are reviving their spiritual lives exactly based on the process he gave. So imagine how powerful he is, not only that time, but the rest of the time to come. We are all like thriving our spiritual lives based on Prabhupada. No, we didn't meet him, we didn't see him. No, but he can feel his purity. We can, from everything he says, we read, right? We can see. No, there's no impure motive in what he says. He just wants us to revive our spiritual life, right? That's what he wants. Sometimes we feel, you know, somebody is giving me so many classes or prasadam so much, you know. Okay, what does he want from me? Like, you know, he wants, you know, some money from me or like. But if we feel like underlying, we see, you know, this person just wants me to practice spiritual life. So, okay, maybe he wants me to practice spiritual life. So, eventually I'll give my money to ISKCON. That's why maybe, no, so these are all doubts again. So many things, right? Instead of just taking it, you know, some mercy and applying it sincerely, so much we complicate our lives. Okay, so next verse, Krishna talks about how to clear these doubts. That's what we want, right? So if you have such doubts, And also, you know, while reading Bhagavad Gita, sometimes we may come across these doubts, you know, this verse is inconsistent with this. Many people get stuck in the Shastra also, especially after getting some knowledge. They feel, you know, oh, this verse is contradicting to this. I cannot understand. I cannot move in my devotional service without clarifying this. You know, how the creation happens. I want to understand it. So, get stuck. So, what our teacher says is like, you know, just continue your devotional service. When you are qualified, it will be revealed to you. This is not ascending process. No, the way it works, everything, you know, how can you know how the creation works? Right? It's so gigantic and it happened before we even were born. So, you know, it will be revealed to you. Such that at least as much as it will be revealed that you will not be blocked anymore. But at least you continue your progress with sincerity that, okay, I don't understand it right now, but I have faith there is an answer which is consistent to the philosophy, so which I am going to get late soon. Especially all of you are sincere readers of Bhagavad Gita, you may come across such inconsistency. So, no, Mataji said this one day, other day she said this, you know. So, you know, you may have doubt and stop your chanting. Text number 41.
योगसन्यस्तकर्माणां ज्ञानसञ्चिन्नसंशयम् आत्मवन्तं न कर्माणि निबध्नन्ति धनञ्जया.
One who acts in devotional service, renouncing the fruits of his actions, and whose doubts have been destroyed by transcendental knowledge, is situated factually in the self. Thus, he is not bound by the reactions of work or conqueror of riches. So again, how to destroy these doubts? Krishna is saying these doubts are destroyed by transcendental knowledge. So Krishna from within has to clear these doubts. Seeing our, what does Krishna see? What is the recipe? Our sincerity and in our application. So we have to just be sincere in our service. That's why Krishna said, one who acts in devotional service, how? Renouncing the fruits of his actions. That means basically that's our chapter, Nishkama Karma Yoga. While doing our activities, we should renounce the fruits. Then gradually by this devotional service, doubts will be destroyed. Then he will be self-situated. Then what happens? He is no more bound by reactions. Because he does akarma, right? Okay. So we'll read the short purport.
One who follows the instruction of Bhagavad Gita, as it is imparted by the Lord, the personality of Godhead himself, becomes free from all doubts by the grace of the transcendental knowledge. He, as a part and parcel of the Lord, in full Krishna consciousness, is already established in self-knowledge. As such, he is undoubtedly above bondage to action.
So what is one has to follow the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, imparted by the Supreme Lord, then eventually he will become free from all doubts. Essentially, apply ourselves to this knowledge. Yeah. And then he becomes above the bondage of action. Okay. So, we have to just... So, what is application point for us? We have to follow the instructions faithfully. Whatever instructions we receive from Bhagavad Gita, devotional service, just try to follow them faithfully. Okay, so last verse, text number 42. Now after speaking so much about transcendental knowledge, Krishna is urging Arjuna to do something, to apply this knowledge. So how does Arjuna apply this knowledge? By standing and fighting.
Tasmad ajnana sambhutam hrutstam jnanasinatmana chitvainam samshayam yogam atisto tishta bharata.
Be situated and stand up and fight. Be situated and stand up and fight. So sit down and stand up. Therefore the doubts which have arisen in your heart out of ignorance. So same thing, Arjuna also has doubts, right? Krishna is saying they have arisen out of ignorance, should be slashed by the weapon of knowledge. Armed with yoga, O Arjuna, stand and fight. So first he's saying, you know, if you have doubts whether to fight or not to fight, whether I'll get this again, you know, what happens to them if I kill them, all these doubts, what you should do? You should slash with the weapon of knowledge, this transcendental knowledge. That's why it binds to this chapter. So you have this devotional service, transcendental knowledge, you slash them with this knowledge. Now, armed with yoga. Now, when you're situated in knowledge, what should you do? You should sit quiet and retire from activities? No. You should stand up and fight. Do devotional service. So act in knowledge. That's why it leads to the next chapter. Karma Yoga, action in Krishna consciousness. How to act in knowledge. So this purport, this Prabhupada summarizes the whole chapter. Yeah, we can just read through it. No, I'll not elaborate much. But from Surrender Unto Me, Burjan Prabhu has split this purport into multiple sections and he has given a title to each section. So I'm just going to repeat the title so you can write down Bhagavad Gita. It may help in your studies. So the first section, we'll read and we'll pause exactly after the section. First section is called Goal of Sacrifices, Part 1. What is the goal of sacrifices? So we can read this yoga system.
The yoga system instructed in this chapter is called Sanatan Yoga or eternal activities performed by the living entity. This yoga has two divisions of sacrificial actions. One is called sacrifice of one's material possessions and the other is called knowledge of self, which is pure spiritual activity. If sacrifice of one's material possession is not dovetailed for spiritual realization, then such sacrifice becomes material. But one who performs such sacrifices with a spiritual objective or in devotional service makes a perfect sacrifice.
Yeah, we can pause there. So goal of sacrifices should be to attain spiritual realization, not, you know, I sacrifice this thing so that I can get a position, or the karmakanda activities, I sacrifice some meat so that I can eat more meat, right? It's not about that. It should not be the goal of sacrifice. That's also sacrifice according to karmakanda, according to Vedas. But the sacrifice we want is for a spiritual goal. The goal of sacrifices should be spiritual. We discussed this right earlier. So that's why we are summarizing this in the purport. Okay, now next section is about, there are two levels of spiritual knowledge. Okay, so we can continue.
From the same.
So yeah, when we come to
spiritual activities, we find that these are also divided into two. Namely, understanding of one's own self or one's constitutional position and the truth regarding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who follows the path of Bhagavad Gita as it is can very easily understand these two important divisions of spiritual knowledge. For him, there is no difficulty in obtaining perfect knowledge of the self as part and parcel of the Lord. And such understanding is beneficial. For such a person can easily understand the transcendental activities of the Lord.
Okay, you can pause. So that's the second section. Right? Two levels of spiritual knowledge. One is, who am I? I am part and parcel of the Lord. Second one is, who is the Lord? Right? So what is this? Understanding one's own self. And the second one is understanding truth regarding Supreme Lord. Right? So then Prabhupada nicely summarizes later on. He says, when we understand that we are part and parcel of the Lord, one can easily understand Lord's activities also. If we think we are Lord, we cannot understand Lord's activities correctly, right? When we think we are part of the Lord, then we accept Krishna's instructions in a proper way. Then we are ready to understand, or you know, we are qualifying ourselves to accept the transcendental activities of the Lord. Janma karma cha me divyam, right? That's initially we read the verse. Okay, this section is about two levels of spiritual knowledge. So the next one is, we are reading 42nd purport, last verse.
Among the two, you said first is who am I? And the other one?
Who is the Lord? Okay, next one, next section is about learning Lord's transcendental activities.
In the beginning of this chapter, the transcendental activities of the Lord were discussed by Supreme Lord Himself.
Which is that verse?
Janma
karma. Now how he appears, right?
Yeah.
Why he appears, right? And what are his, you know, he's unborn. Like he gave some qualities about himself, right? Few verses. Yeah.
one who does not understand the instructions of the Gita is faithless and is to be considered to be misusing the fragmental independence awarded to him by the Lord. In spite of such instructions, one who does not understand the real nature of the Lord as the eternal, blissful, all-knowing personality of Godhead is certainly fool number one.
Okay, so this one is learning Lord's activities, right? This section. So here Prabhupada is saying, in beginning Krishna gave all these things, knowledge about himself. So one who doesn't have faith in such instructions is essentially, again, doubtful person. So he doesn't have, is misusing his independence. That because of this, he doesn't understand real nature of the Lord. Right? Because we understand Krishna through only through faith. If we don't have faith in even Krishna's instructions, how will we understand Krishna? Okay. And such ignorance can be removed by gradual acceptance of principles of Krishna consciousness. Okay, that's the next section again. So this section is Goal of Sacrifices Part 2. Ignorance can be removed. We can read that.
Ignorance can be removed by gradual acceptance of the principles of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is awakened by different types of sacrifices to the demigods. Sacrifice to Brahma, sacrifice in celibacy, in household life, in controlling the senses, in practicing mystic yoga, in penance, in foregoing material possessions, in studying the Vedas, and in partaking of the social institution called Varnashrama Dharma. All of these are known as sacrifice, and all of them are based on regulated action. But within all these activities, the important factor is self-realization. One who seeks that objective is the real student of Bhagavad Gita. But one who doubts the authority of Krishna falls back.
So again, goal of sacrifices is again self-realization, part 2. Right? All the sacrifice to demigods, everything we do, even if we do, goal is to gradually make progress in Krishna consciousness or self-realization. Again, Prabhupada comes to the point about faith, right? So if we don't follow with faith, then we come back, fall down. We don't have the faith in, doubt the authority of Krishna, we fall back. Okay, now last section is about how to properly learn this transcendental knowledge.
One is therefore advised to study Bhagavad Gita or any other scripture under a bona fide spiritual master with service and surrender. A bona fide spiritual master is in the disciplic succession from the time eternal, and he does not deviate at all from the instructions of the Supreme Lord as they were imparted millions of years ago to the Sun God, from whom the instructions of Bhagavad Gita have come down to the earthly kingdom. One should therefore follow the path of Bhagavad Gita as it is expressed in the Gita itself, and beware of self-interested people after personal aggrandizement who deviate others from the actual path. The Lord is definitely the supreme person, and his activities are transcendental. One who understands this is a liberated person from the very beginning of his study of Bhagavad Gita.
So again, you know, how to learn this knowledge? I read that from.
Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the fourth chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of transcendental knowledge.
Okay, so how to learn this knowledge is through bona fide spiritual master in the disciplic section, who is repeating the instructions of Krishna given to Sun God, and which is now again repeated in the earthly kingdom. And again, Prabhupada is warning us, one should beware of self-interested people who misuse Krishna's instructions for their own selfish motives, right, you know, for some political reasons or something. So many commentaries are written, so we should be aware of that. And see, it's so funny the way Prabhupada is writing it. The Lord is definitely the supreme person. So he's saying, you know, please believe me. Definitely, you know, there's definitely Lord is supreme person, no doubt about it, and his activities are transcendental. One who understands this is a liberated person from the very beginning of his study of Bhagavad Gita. Thus send the Bhaktivedanta purports to the fourth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of transcendental knowledge.
What does last sentence mean? one who understands this is a liberated person from the very beginning of this study.
Yeah, that means he is. That's why, no, liberation doesn't mean we have to go to Goloka, right? Right now we can be liberated. So one is dedicated to the path of devotional service is already liberated. It need not be like, you know, after all everything is cleansed, then I'm liberated. So person who is a pure devotee? Pure devotee is a person who is completely pure, or a person who is purely or strictly sincerely following pure devotional service. At least advanced devotees see those people also as pure devotees. Or it said that, you know, Bhagavad Gita has to be spoken by somebody who is pure and sincere. No, how many of us are pure and sincere? But because we are hearing from pure authority and following sincerely and trying to repeat it purely, that same potency is there. Right? Otherwise we want Prabhupada, otherwise we want Krishna only to speak to all of us. No, you don't even want Prabhupada. So
where does it say that it has to be orated only by someone? It is said,
Krishna says, what are the qualifications to receive this knowledge? He says to Krishna, Arjuna, that because you are non-envious, I'm giving this knowledge. We covered this verse earlier, or right? Krishna says,
you are
my devotee and friend. He said,
I was trying to understand when you said, right, that no one would be pure and sincere, but the same potency is there if you are devoted sincerely. So I'm saying that the part that one has to be extremely pure and sincere, is that documented?
Yeah, it's here only, right? Prabhupada is saying one should be. One second. One should therefore, Prabhupada is saying, beware of self-interested people after personal aggrandizement,
mm-hmm.
who deviate others from the actual path. So if somebody is like this, means they are impure, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they are speaking Bhagavad Gita, they are sharing knowledge, but they have personal motives. What is purity? Purity is also in the thoughts, in the actions, in the desires. So this person has a desire that by teaching this class, okay, or for example, Bhagavata Sapta. People conduct like 7 days Bhagavata Sapta, but they want money, you know, they want to make their living out of it. So they have some impure motives. Not that, you know, I want to give this knowledge because it's my service to Krishna and it's their service to Krishna to hear this knowledge. That's a pure motive. So it's very clear, you know, a little bit impure motive we have, the potency is lost. It is said that it's like, even though knowledge is pure, that's the whole thing. It's like milk bitten by the serpent or touched by the serpent. It becomes poisonous. It doesn't have the effect. Even though the knowledge is pure, because it's touched by the lips of Mayavadi or an impure devotee, the effect is different. That's why Prabhupada said, you know, so many Bhagavad Gitas are there, so many commentaries are there, so many people are speaking, but how many of the recipients are dedicating their lives for serving Krishna? That is the proof of how the speaker is pure. If we are seeing every Bhagavad Gita is same, everything is pure, everybody is pure, then are the students who are receiving that knowledge dedicating themselves for serving Krishna? If they are not, means they are not receiving the right knowledge, or the speaker is corrupting them. Right? Yeah. So if we have received it purely, we said, right, when we have understood Bhagavad Gita purely, what should be our, you know, what's the proof that we have understood Bhagavad Gita correctly? Like Arjuna, so we should, how Arjuna has received it, and what did Arjuna do after he received this knowledge? He surrendered completely and he served Krishna's instructions to fight. So like that, we should, at the end of Bhagavad Gita, we have really understood Bhagavad Gita, we should be ready to dedicate our lives to devotional service to Krishna.
Mataji,
sorry,
we are stuck here. So
what is the second one? The categories of this. So first one is the goal of sacrifices, part one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Second one is two levels of spiritual knowledge. It's there, the first two. It's there, understanding
who
we are and who is the Lord. That's there in the purport. Second and third one is learning Lord's activities,
yeah.
Lord's transcendental activities. Fourth one is goal of sacrifices, part two.
Okay. What are we talking about? What are these part two?
These are the divisions in the purport, sections in the purport. Then fifth one is properly learning transcendental knowledge. How to properly learn transcendental knowledge.
Okay.
Okay, so since the chapter. You can stop here, I think.